Welcome to Back on the Grind, a podcast about life, music, people, and the stories that bring us closer. I've really been thinking about life and people and the stories that people lead lately. I've lost quite a few friends since I've been out of prison. Most, I never had a chance to say goodbye to. But they were beautiful people, and they all had a unique way of finding the beauty in life. And it's inspired me to continue to find that beauty myself. This episode's about a pretty simple topic, morning routines. The morning routine has had a profound effect in my life. I get into that during the episode with Will. But if you're out there and you lost somebody that you love, somebody that was close to you, somebody who you didn't get a chance to say goodbye to, I want to dedicate this episode to them. And tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to dedicate my morning routine to all the people we've lost. They deserve our love, and us waking up every morning, continuing on with our life, is one way to show them that love. Enjoy this episode as Folk Punk Dad and myself, Pepe, bring you closer to our morning routines.
Hey, Pepe.
What's up, Will?
Not a lot and a lot at the same time.
I feel the same. I definitely feel the same. Yeah, I got some information I want to share in this episode. Mm. But I know we were planning to do an episode on morning routines, and you know, the information I got last night kind of aligns with the value of a morning routine. But first, I'd like to just mention one of my friends, Mikey, passed away semi-recently. And one of the last conversations him and I had was about our podcast, and he was really appreciating this podcast that we do. And in an earlier episode, you and I briefly mentioned maybe doing an episode on morning routines one day. And Mikey said it would be awesome if we did an episode on morning routines. We kind of never really pursued it. But that being one of the last conversations I had with my friend, I thought this would be a nice way to honor him. So, you know, I suggested to you that we do this episode on morning routines. So it's definitely been on my mind since that conversation. So this episode is being made with Mikey in my heart. Also, I went to a show that you played and you performed a new song that I was not familiar with and I was very excited to hear. Do you want to say a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, this past year, I've been getting into different morning routines and have learned some things from a certain podcaster who is very much in the self-optimization sphere. While there is valuable advice there, and while I've been getting a lot out of it, I also know the pitfalls of a self-optimization mindset where you're completely focused on productivity and squeezing every second out of every day. So the song is a parody, really. It goes something like, I self-optimize till I'm a god. Self-optimize, I'll never die. And so it sort of touches on the importance of not taking this kind of stuff that we're talking about today too seriously.
And I definitely appreciated that. I've mentioned this on the podcast before. Like, I really appreciate when we can add humor into situations that we're dealing with or facing, you know, whether they're difficult or not. You know, like a morning routine doesn't necessarily have to be a difficult thing. It often is. But the fact that also, you know, you were able to poke fun at yourself and others in that sense, that like we could get carried away with this. And I really appreciate that. I'm excited to when that song is actually to be released.
Yeah, I'm collaborating with at least one other person on it. So I'm excited about it too. Pepe, you mentioned getting some information last night. Would you like to say more about that?
Yeah, and it kind of ties into our topic today. And it's funny how life works like that sometimes. You know, this happened similarly with us once. I don't know if you remember our second episode we had recorded and it got messed up on the original recording and we were unable to use it. So we had to record it again. And that was the episode about fear. But in that time between the second recording, I had an experience where I was kind of climbing across the mountain and feeling that sense of fear. And it was a really good thing to add into that episode. So it's just funny how sometimes something might not work out and it offers something else that could be useful. But yeah, I got a legal letter last night regarding my coffee company. And there's another company that has a similar name who is basically asking me to cease and desist using the name. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen at this point. I mean, there's multiple companies with that name, similar name, like with the word Bandit and coffee in it. But for, you know, reasons that maybe just because my company has been getting some recognition, they've sent out this legal notice to me. You know, and it's a big deal for me. I've been spending the last 2 years since I've been released from prison, slowly taking the steps to build up to this place where I could have this coffee company and have that be a way that I can make a living moving forward. Yeah, I was in a very rough emotional place last night getting that information. When I woke up this morning, I did not want to get out of bed. I felt like cowering away, hiding away from the world and not doing anything and just laying in bed. I didn't want to get up and make lunch for my wife like I always do. I didn't want to take my kid to school. I didn't want to run out to the post office to do the orders I had to do. And I didn't even want to do the fucking podcast today. I didn't want to do any of it. And I know that if I just laid in bed this morning, I wouldn't have done any of those things. And you know, I'm doing the podcast and I did all the other things I mentioned. And it just made me realize, you know, I've had a morning routine for a while, but this made me realize the true value of it is that when times get tough, the morning routine has been so valuable for me to help me find a way to move forward, not give up, and end up in an even worse place. Because I've done it before.
That sounds like a really frustrating letter to receive, especially when you've worked so hard. I can totally understand how it would just really throw you. I think it's really great that you have this morning routine that sounds like it enabled you to do what you needed to do today, to get out of bed, to take those steps toward moving forward. That's really great. And I can totally relate because I have had experiences where I'm really in my routines and something really throws me off. And the routines help keep me grounded. But I've also been in the other situation where I've fallen completely out of all my routines and then shit hits the fan and it's just so much worse than it had to be because I'm not grounded, because I'm kind of relying on myself instead of relying on things that I know help me.
Yeah, it's an easy place to fall into. You know, as we go on in this episode, hopefully our listeners can see the value in a morning routine. I'm sure we both have some stories that we can share in relation to that. Quickly, on a side note, I am going to ask for help from our listeners. If I have to change the name of my coffee company, I'm trying to think of a new name. I don't know if I'm going to have to or not. I'm trying to like negotiate with these people outside of like the legal terms and just have a talk with them. I called their lawyer. The lawyer didn't seem too interested in that. And I was just looking at their website and how they're all about community and helping people move forward in life and things like that that are stated. And it's even stated in the legal letter. And I thought, well, I mean, you know, part of me is like, man, I'm trying to do those things. I'm trying to move forward. I'm trying to build community. These are all things that I want to do. And, you know, the Bandit name, I've had that since 2003, not as a coffee company, but in other areas of my life. For them, I know, and granted, they had a name and coffee, but it's not as old as that. It's a big deal for me to lose that as the name of this project. But if anyone listening, you have some ideas. I mean, I've been thinking all morning of ideas. It was part of my morning routine, actually, was where I placed my thoughts. And today it was on possible new names. So yeah, I'm looking for a new name if that's necessary for Bandit Coffee Roasters. So feel free to send an email or leave a message on Spotify or whatever if you can think of a cool name.
I love thinking of names. I'd be happy to brainstorm with you.
Definitely. I'd appreciate it.
The first thing that came to mind for me was just calling it back on the grind.
That came to mind too. It did. The first thing that came to mind for me was spark, because Pat once talked about a spark in my eyes. And I thought we all have this spark in us that can kind of keep us moving forward in times that we need it. But sure enough, there was a company already with that name. Back in the grind, I might consider. Mm-hmm. I want to think about it more. It's obviously the lines, it's the podcast name, right? There's that connection there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about being in a difficult place without a morning routine. Do you have a story you could share about that?
Absolutely. For the most part, I didn't have a morning routine, or at least a morning routine I was conscious of. I mean, we all have a morning routine. We all do something when we get up in the morning, and it's usually pretty similar every day. I think the difference is when we decide to be more conscious of what we choose to do in the morning. But yeah, the place I was where I wasn't following a morning routine that was not good for me or for the people around me, it was after my arrest, and I was on pretrial, and I was fighting my case. And I remember very specifically those mornings, and those mornings seemed to stretch well into the afternoon for me. Lee, my now wife, she was my girlfriend at the time, she would get up in the morning and go to work. I would get up out of bed and give her a hug and a kiss and say goodbye and act like I was going to stay up and just go on with my day. As soon as she left the house and closed the door, I went back into bed. I was like in my pajamas. I just stayed in bed and I was like binge watching Netflix, usually horrible prison shows, which I don't recommend if you're on your way to prison. And I would just lay in bed all day until 3-4 in the afternoon, till I heard Lee's car pull up. I would jump out of bed hours later, throw on my clothes, and when Lee walked in the door, I would pretend like I was up all day. But really, I was just laying in bed, depressed, and not wanting to do anything. And obviously, that wasn't good for me to be in that state, and it wasn't good for Lee or the people around me either.
Is there something that helped you get out of that? Or was it just was that kind of the state you were in just before you went in?
So I was in that state for a while after my arrest. And it just came to a point where I realized I was just making myself feel worse and worse every day, not moving forward, not going anywhere, not getting out of bed for hours, lying to my partner. I mean, she wouldn't ask me, were you in bed all day? But I was acting like I had been up and out of bed all day. I was putting on this front. You know, I quickly made the bed and got changed right when she pulled in the driveway. And I just got to a point where I realized, you know what, for myself, and I'll be honest, it was first for myself. Before it was for anyone else, this was for me. I said, I deserve a life different than this. I deserve a better life than this. Even if I'm going to prison, like even if I know that, I deserve to be in a better place than this. And of course, the people around me, you know, they deserved more of me too, I believe, like the people that were caring for me. But I couldn't give them that until I was able to give it to myself first. And I think that's the moment when I really realized I just need to get up in the morning. It's hard. When you're in that state, I completely can understand and relate to folks who might be there. I mean, I've dealt with childhood trauma. I've dealt with major procrastination. I dealt with, you know, impending imprisonment. And I know how profound it could be to just get out of bed in the morning. I know that's not easy sometimes. But I think for me, just realizing I had to do that and taking that first step, it really gave me so much momentum. If I can start my day actually in moving in a direction, as opposed to just laying still and avoiding everything, it completely changed the outcome. And it wasn't like immediate. I woke up the next day and had this like perfect morning routine and I optimized everything, you know, like you were talking about. But it began to slowly over time, I found what worked for me and it moved me into a direction that really became helpful. And I was able to show up eventually for the people around me. And, you know, I've been contacted by many listeners of the podcast and other folks who find my story inspiring. And this might not sound cool or sexy, as they say, but really, I think a morning routine was the key to my success in getting through everything I've been facing. Seems like, or I know it's going to be the key to what I'm facing now with Bandit Coffee Roasters.
what you were saying about it being so hard to get out of bed sometimes, I can also really relate to. Having a really solid morning routine is something that's relatively new for me. I, in the past, would wake up just in time to get ready and go out the door for whatever I needed to do, whether it was work or school. But part of that was because for years I was on medication for bipolar disorder, which was a really heavy sedative. So it made it really hard to wake up in the morning. And I also just think as people age, they tend to have different clocks. And it's just gotten easier for me to wake up earlier as I've gotten older. In my 20s, I think my normal wake-up time was probably 11 a.m. if I didn't set an alarm. And now my normal wake-up time, if I don't set an alarm, is probably 7 a.m. So the time that is most present to me as when I did not have routines and got thrown off is actually more related to my nightly routine. That's something that's been a little more consistent in my life, I think partially because it was so hard for me to wake up in the morning. But having a nightly routine where I journal about what I did that day and write a gratitude list, that's been really essential for me for over a decade, really. And there was a period of time where I really fell out of that nightly journaling routine and any other routines that I had. And I started having some pretty significant issues with bipolar disorder and having mania, but also having depression. Not being in the habit of my routines just exacerbated it and kind of made it all the worse, because starting in January of 2023, even though I was really struggling, I started trying to get back into my nightly journaling routine. And it was a sad attempt. You know, at least it was an attempt, but it was like scribbles right before I passed out is mostly what it was. So I think that was a situation where I would have been doing better had I already been in those routines. I'm not going to go into it now, but I had a powerful spiritual experience in January of 2023 that really changed things for me in a lot of ways. And it was after that spiritual experience that I got back into a morning routine. You know, my morning routine has shifted and changed over the past year. I kind of go through phases of trying things out and then trying something else out. And I hope to eventually land on something more consistent and lifelong. But I think it's also normal for them to change and shift depending on your needs, depending on what's going on in your life. So it's not like a morning routine has to be your morning routine forever.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. Mine, you know, like I mentioned, being on pretrial, what I was doing then as a morning routine was very different than what I was doing as a morning routine when I was in prison versus what I'm doing now as a morning routine. Like, they've all changed based on my life situation at the time. But I think the consistent thing of each of those is the choice to be willing to show up for yourself. You know, we did a episode on like self-care, and I think that's the biggest value for me. It's not so much the individual acts of the morning routine, which I used to think it was. I thought that was the powerful part. I've learned now, because I've had one since 2017, 2018, that the most powerful part is I'm making a promise that I'm going to show up for myself. And, you know, and am I going to be the type of person that does their best to keep the promises they make? And that's really, you know, what I'm facing now. It's like I said, I didn't want to get up, but I made that promise. And I feel better in this moment right now, sitting here having this podcast with you, than if I just laid in bed. I know that. And sure, it would have been easier to just lay in bed this morning and not deal with all this stuff, right, in the moment. But, you know, I wouldn't be keeping that promise to myself. And, you know, over the years, I've gotten better at that, because I'm sure, like you, there's plenty of times where you don't want to do your routine, right? And it's just, but you do it and it's helpful. So you mentioned you used to get up at 11 a.m. and then you switch to 7 a.m. over time. So I'm curious, what is different now when you wake up at 7 versus when you woke up at 11? Like, what are you doing differently?
Yeah, so back when my natural wake-up time was 11 a.m., I didn't know that was my natural wake-up time until I quit my job because I was a teacher and just waking up just in time to get ready and go to work. And then when I quit my job and was like, I'm just going to get as much sleep as I need, it was amazing for my mental health. But then, yeah, I'd wake up at 11 a.m. and have breakfast and coffee, but then, you know, maybe start working right away, or it was a very fluid time in my life where I was just starting being self-employed. So it wasn't really consistent. You know, I'm sure there were days where I just woke up and laid in bed and scrolled my phone for an hour before getting out of bed, which is my least favorite way to start the day. But then the pandemic was kind of interesting because I, you know, would often find myself not needing to set an alarm, doing school from home.
I just want to say real quick, I'm always like, when I hear stories of the pandemic, it always fascinates me because I was locked up during a pandemic. And even stuff like that, I never even like the concept of not having to wake up at your normal time. Like in prison, there's count. You got to be up for count. Like it doesn't matter if there's a pandemic going on or not. And it's just one more thing I didn't even think about, how much the cycle and flow of life changed out in the world when the pandemic was happening.
Totally. And it actually enabled me to get into some morning routines since I didn't have to rush to be anywhere in the morning. And one of the things I did was The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Have you heard of that?
I read a different book of hers, Writing Prompts, while I was in prison. And I loved the writing prompts. Mm-hmm. But yes, I'm familiar with that book.
Yeah. So she encourages morning pages. 3 pages in the morning, just a brain dump of whatever's on your mind. So I did that pretty consistently for a while during lockdown. And that was a really great practice. I really got a lot out of it, just kind of being able to clear my head in the morning. But the funny thing is, I think doing that is part of why I stopped journaling at night. And because I was like, oh, I've already written today. I don't need to write tonight. But then when I fell out of the habit of morning pages, I was also out of the habit of my nightly routine. And then I just wasn't journaling at all. So that was one practice that was really valuable that I just am thinking about getting back into. I did it today, actually. I'm not sure if or when I'll get back into it because of the way my schedule is right now, but it is something that I see value in that I'd like to return to at some point. What my morning routine has looked like this last year has shifted. My brother introduced me to Andrew Huberman. I think his stuff should be taken with a grain of salt. I do not endorse like all the supplements he endorses. And, you know, some of the things he says are kind of out there, and I would not encourage anyone to like take everything he says as fact and a good idea. But there are some things he says that I think are valuable and that I've tried out and that I've found valuable. What my routine looks like if I'm going with his suggestions is waking up in the morning. Oh, and trying to wake up early. So maybe around 6 a.m. drinking a glass of water, and then within the first hour of waking up, going outside and getting some sunlight in my eyes, normally going on a walk. Then wait to drink caffeine for at least an hour or two. I'm not exactly sure of the scientific terms, but basically there are sleepy chemicals in your brain.
Adenosine.
After you wake up. Adenosine. Thank you. I just call them sleepy chemicals. But so there's adenosine. And if you drink caffeine too quickly, the adenosine doesn't evaporate, or evaporates, not the right.
You know,
way
I can.
Either,
I but. Since I'm a coffee person, and I could tell you about this a little bit. And I have, this is also part of my morning routine that way.
Yeah.
But I'll just give a brief definition. So yeah, there's adenosine, which is a chemical that builds up in your body throughout the day that makes you sleepy. So as the day goes on, the more of it you have, and that's why you get sleepy at night. When you wake up in the morning, there's leftover adenosine in your body still. And if you drink coffee, the caffeine in coffee will latch onto your adenosine receptors, blocking that leftover adenosine from being able to be let go, essentially. And when the caffeine wears off, that adenosine then latches on. And that's often why you have an afternoon crash if you have coffee early in the morning. So yeah, waiting allows that adenosine to get onto those adenosine receptors, and it prevents that crash from happening.
Thank you. You said it so much better than I could have.
Well, that's a good, I'm glad that's a part of your morning routine.
Yeah.
I do recommend that to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, even when people ask me about coffee, that's one of the things I recommend. Mm-hmm. Waiting an hour or two if you could.
Yeah. That's basically the gist of what I've taken from Andrew Huberman. He also recommends working out in the morning and then doing like 90 minutes of work. And I did start getting into working out in the mornings. So I'm in school right now, and I'm at Divinity School, and we have morning prayer every weekday morning at 7:30. And so that's part of my morning routine too. And so what's been tough lately is it's really hard to be able to do all the things I want to do. If I had the time and if I could wake up at 4 a.m., which I'm not going to do to myself, I would do what I described before, add in morning pages, add in reading some spiritual readings like scripture and recovery readings, reading a poem, and then like going to the gym and then going to morning prayer and then drinking coffee with my friends at school, eating breakfast, and then going to class or working on my thesis or something like that. So, but normally I wake up between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. now, and I try to do some of those things. I was really in a good gym routine for a while, going with a friend of mine a few times a week, which was really great. And I got sick, and then they weren't available. And so I've fallen out of that routine the last few weeks, but it's something I'd like to get into. And then the other routine that I started in January is kind of an interesting prayer practice that you don't have to be religious. You know, I think people in 12-step recovery programs, that's actually where this practice kind of originated. That's where I learned about it. But it's called two-way prayer. And after reading some spiritually significant text, you write to your higher power something that you want guidance on. Like, dear God, I'm feeling really stressed out with all the things I have to do today. Show me the way. Or, dear God, I don't know what to do about this big decision with my work coming up. I'm listening. Show me the way. And then I take time for some stillness. And then you respond to yourself from your higher power's perspective, starting with a term of endearment, like my precious child or my beloved son, so that it's coming from a loving place, and then just writing the guidance. And whether it's coming from a higher power or just you, it's at least the best part of you, you know, or maybe it's a mix of both, depending on your beliefs. And then after writing the guidance, reading over it and asking yourself if it's pure and honest and unselfish and loving, and if it meets that criteria, then it's probably pretty good guidance, no matter where it came from. And I've been using that pretty consistently, and I've really gotten a lot out of it. I will talk about this at some point, but I'm making a shift in my career trajectory, and this was really helpful when discerning what to do about that. And so yeah, that's been a recent routine that I found really valuable.
I like that a lot, and it reminds me of something that I do from time to time. You know, I have a spiritual practice. I know, you know, it could be, I don't know, difference between spirituality and religion. you can, you know, there's many definitions of both, and some folks might not be as comfortable with the religious side of things, or the spiritual side, which for me, it's not that big of a deal. I used to have an allergy to those things. I don't think I do anymore so much, but there's a practice that if someone is not as comfortable in that area, and this can be pretty fun, but it's almost very similar, I think. I've done something where I'll think about the people in my life who have guided me and say, for example, I have friends that I've called or people who are not alive. I'll just name a few folks that I might do this with. So I imagine myself at a table and I'm sitting at a table and I have a situation or a question, something that I'm trying to figure out. And I imagine Pat the Bunny's at the table. I imagine my friend Michael Kriegler, who did a bunch of artwork for the band, is at the table. April Hartman might be at the table. Chesky will be at the table. Carl Jung will be at the table. And I'll ask them all the question that I'm struggling with, and I let them answer. I go around the table and they all give me an answer. And it's just been a great way for me, you know, to get feedback from people who I trust, whether I know them personally, have gotten good feedback from them, or I've been inspired by their work. Yeah, it's funny. When we talked about morning routines in the past, you and I do have some very similar practices. Maybe we come at them a little differently, but they're so similar.
Thanks for sharing that. That's really cool. I like that a lot. I did something similar recently when it was almost a mix between what you just described and two-way prayer and morning pages. I was doing an assignment for my class. That week, we were studying surrealism. And the surrealists have this practice called automatic writing, which is very similar to morning pages. There are probably some nuanced differences. So I set a timer for 10 minutes, wrote whatever came to mind. A lot of it was kind of superficial stuff on my mind. Did it a second time for 10 minutes. Felt like I went a little bit deeper. And then even though we weren't required to do it a third time, I did it a third time, wondering if I would go deeper still. And I ended up writing about something I wanted to tell my dad about. And my dad passed away over 5 years ago now. And so I decided just to write to him. And then after writing to him what I wanted to tell him, I ended up also writing his response to me. And it was really powerful and meaningful. So, you know, that's something that I might continue to explore in the future.
Yeah, this is like something we could do an entire episode on, like that type of stuff. I often call it inner work. Mm. You know, having practices like that, as you said, can be extremely profound and powerful. And we can't say for sure where information is coming from when we receive it, whether it's coming from within us or without us, but I've had experiences where some very profound things, like you said, have happened to me in practices like that, definitely changed the trajectory of my life. Like you said, happened to you semi-recently.
So Pepe, I'm curious, what did your morning routine look like in prison?
Well, I had been moved around to several places throughout the compound I was housed at. And in each different location, my morning routine had to adapt to where I was living. But one thing remained a constant through all that, and this is stand-up count. So just for context for our listeners, when you're in prison, you're being counted all the time. I mean, you're counted while you're sleeping, you're counted while you're awake, but there are specific counts within a federal prison system called stand-up count, and those happen traditionally 3 times a day. And I was told the reason we have stand-up count is because in the past, an inmate had passed away in his bunk and the guards went by and counted him. And another day went by and they counted him, and several days went by and they just counted him before they realized he had actually passed away. It had been days. So for that reason, they have stand-up count 3 times a day now. But I'm going to get into my morning routine at the last place I was housed in prison, and it was a dorm setting. It was basically a couple hundred men in bunk beds in one giant open room. And I was in that setting because I took part in a program. It was like a boot camp, a psychological boot camp would be the best way to describe it. And doing that program allowed you to get 1 year off of your sentence if you complete the program. But it was a much more strict unit to live in. Most of the guys in prison didn't go do that program until they were near the end of their sentence, because once you graduated that program, you still had to stay living in that strict unit. Broadly speaking, for me, in a lot of ways, I preferred it because the guys in that program, in that unit, understood they were getting a year off and they didn't want to take as many risks as guys would in other units in the prison. So they wouldn't have as much contraband on hand. You know, fights would be more limited in there. I mean, all those things were still a part of that unit, but it was less likely to happen. And the tricky thing with that is if you have a bunk mate, you know, and he is hiding something in your area, some contraband, you both get in trouble for it. That's just how it goes in there. So in a unit like that, that is less likely to happen. The other thing about this unit was they added an additional stand-up count, and that kind of factored into my morning routine. They had an early stand-up count at 6:45 in the morning where you were required to be by your bunk standing. So a typical morning for me in this psychological boot camp unit would be I would wait until a little before 5 in the morning and I would hear the guards' keys jingling. And that was because we had a 5 a.m. count where they would walk by and you'd hear their keys jingling as they were approaching, and you would see a light getting brighter as they approached with a flashlight, and they would shine in everyone as they walked by their bunks to make sure every inmate was in their bunk. So they would go by and count, and after that 5 a.m. count, I would have until 6:45 a.m., at which point I'd have to be back at my bunk for the stand-up count. Now, most guys, they would just stay in their bunk and sleep until 6:45 or a little before. You know, I remember before I was in prison, I would wake up for school or for my parents or for a boss. I was always setting my wake-up time for someone else. And when I first got to prison, I was doing the same thing. There I was in prison, waking up for a prison guard now. And I remember after some time in there, I decided I deserve better than this. I deserve to wake up for myself, to do what I want, not for a fucking prison guard to count me. That's not a pleasant way to wake up every day for years. So this is one of the ways I can gain some autonomy, which in prison is in short supply. So I took that time for myself to be the person I want to be, even if it's limited in a prison environment. So as soon as the 5 a.m. count cleared, I would sneak off to the broom closet. My job in prison was cleaning, so I had access to a tiny broom closet. And we mentioned COVID a little bit. I was locked up during COVID, and they had decided to ban working out in the prison. So I would sneak into this broom closet in the dark and do my workout, since I wasn't allowed to do it out in the open. It was a pretty intense workout. It had hundreds of squats, lunges, push-ups, jumping jacks, burpees. I think by the time it was done, you ended up doing like 900 push-ups and a ton of other stuff. And I would do all this in under an hour. So it would be a little before six by the time I would finish. I would leave the broom closet all sweaty, and I'd head into the showers. And like I said, most of the guys were sleeping until a little before 6:45 stand-up count. So this was beneficial for me because it was one of the times where there's very few people in the showers and I could have some sense of privacy when I was in there, which I preferred. After I showered, I would return to my bunk for the 6:45 stand-up count. And once that count cleared, most of the guys in that unit would head off to their programming to get their time off their sentence. Since I had already graduated, I would head off to work. I had to, ironically, clean the gym where the prison staff worked out, even though working out was banned for all the inmates. And that wouldn't take too long. I would do that for about an hour. And then I would return back to my bunk where I would have my morning coffee ritual. It was one of the times that I felt most normal in there. I mean, it was such shitty coffee. It was instant coffee, but it was the best coffee I ever had. just sitting there drinking a cup of coffee, looking out the window, I felt like a regular guy in the world for those brief moments. It was as if the prison almost faded away when I had that cup of coffee in my hand. And coffee had a lot of value for me when I was in there. And most of the other guys were still doing their programming, so I was alone. It was nice to have that alone time. After that, I would meditate for 30 to 60 minutes. And then I would just sit in my bunk and I would write for my blog or respond to the letters I've gotten. And I would do that until the next stand-up count, which was at 10 a.m. And that was the gist of my morning routine at the last place I was housed.
It sounds like that would be extraordinarily helpful in those conditions. It seems like it was probably a very grounding thing, and I'm really glad that you were able to have a routine, you know, that you could feel good about, and that helped you through those times.
Yeah, and I think one of the most important parts, like I said, was I wasn't going to wake up for a fucking prison guard. I was going to wake up for me. And I carry that on to, you know, my routine now. You know, like you said, you were waking up last minute, just enough time to get ready to go to work. And it's like, well, you're waking up for work. And now, you know, your routine, you're waking up early, you're waking up for you. And you're, you know, you're putting yourself first there. And I think that's really important and something to definitely understand that, you know, we're getting value from that. We're prioritizing ourselves.
Yeah, totally. So what is your morning routine now?
Yeah, my morning routine now, and you mentioned a night routine. I will say a couple things about that. My morning routine kind of starts the night before. There's like a few things I do. I just want to make it as easy as possible for me. I lay out my workout clothes and the weights I'll be using the next morning, and I fill a 16-ounce bottle of water, and I leave that on the counter. The other thing for me, I mean, I lived in all types of places. I lived on the street. I lived illegally in a laundromat. I lived in squats that were a complete mess. Now, I prefer to wake up to my sink. And this is like my pet peeve. I do not want my sink full of dishes for me. My sink is directly outside my bedroom door. So when I open my bedroom door in the morning, the first thing I see is my sink. So I also do the dishes every night. Like, we'll be getting ready to go to bed, or we'll come home late and I'll still just do the dishes because it just helps me. But yeah, in the morning, my alarm goes off at 5 a.m. and I leave it across the room. So I have to get out of bed to turn it off. I put on the workout clothes that were laid out for me. I go and use the bathroom, and then I immediately drink 2 cups of water. And then I proceed to do my workout, which usually lasts about 30 minutes. And depending on what day of the week it is, I'm doing a different workout. And then I meditate for 15 to 20 minutes. I like to move my body, work out my body, and then I consider meditation working out my mind. After that, I prepare lunch for my wife and for myself for that day. And by then, it's usually about 6 o'clock and it's time for me to head off to work. And I kind of carry my morning routine on into work, I suppose. I work at a coffee shop. And I still haven't drank any coffee or eaten any food. So what I do is I wait until usually 8 o'clock and I'll have my first cup of coffee. And then I wait until roughly 10 or 11 and I'll have my first meal of the day, which is usually an avocado and sugar-free bacon or a hard-boiled egg and some sugar-free bacon. And holding off on eating until that time for me, at first, it was a difficult thing to do, but I see now the value for me is I just feel so much more clear-headed when I have this little fasting period in the morning. I seem to work better. I seem to write better. I just seem to be more alert and energized, actually. And yeah, that's my morning routine. But I wanted to focus a little more on writing, as you mentioned, so I might get up at 4:45, which sounds... I go to bed early enough, I think I can pull it off, but I definitely want to get some writing in because I am working on putting together a collection of my prison writings, and I kind of want to sort through all that, kind of edit some stuff and pick out highlights from journals that I want to use so I can put out a zine. And once I do that, I want to work on writing a book, and I think incorporating writing into my morning routine would be very beneficial.
That sounds awesome. Well, I look forward to hearing more about that and reading some of your stuff.
So, well, if someone doesn't have a morning routine that they consciously set, they're just kind of getting up and doing whatever they do. If you were going to recommend something that they should start with, what do you think that would be?
For me, one of the keys to having a morning routine is having a nightly routine. Even if someone isn't tired at 10 p.m. or whatever, just going to bed early anyway and just lying in bed, even if it takes a while to fall asleep, but lying in bed without looking at your phone, you know, maybe reading until you get sleepy or something like that could be good. Yeah, one of the biggest keys is the night before, because if I'm staying up late, just binging Netflix or whatever, it's going to be really hard to get up to do that morning routine. So I think that's the biggest piece of advice I have. How about you?
I kind of mentioned the night before, like making it as easy as possible for yourself. So, you know, if you know you're going to work out or whatever it may be, get that stuff ready. But I think the two biggest things I would say to people is drink water. It might sound so silly, but it's outrageous, this number. The average person loses 1 to 2 pounds of water while they sleep every night. And a lot of that just has to do with breathing. Moisture has to be brought in through your lungs and stuff. Yeah, and that's been, you know, there's tons of studies on this, but yeah, on average, it's 1 to 2 pounds per person every night they sleep. So you wake up dehydrated. I would say have water in the morning. It's really important. That was like one of the simplest things I started with when I started a morning routine, and it really made a difference. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the other big thing I would say is just for most people, I don't really struggle with this, but I know so many people do, is the phone. Just keep the phone away from the bed. Like get an alarm that's not your phone. I do not recommend using your phone as an alarm if possible, because oftentimes people keep the phone right next to them by the bed. And they can, a couple things. One, they can just hit snooze if it's right there. So if you are going to use your phone, like put it across the room so that you have to stand up and go turn it off. Because like I mentioned, when I was on pretrial and I would go back into bed, it's like I was choosing to snooze on my life. I was wanting to get to a better place in my life. But every morning I said, no, I'm going to snooze on that. I'm going to opt out. I'm going to get back in bed. And one thing I'll say on that, there is something, our sleep cycles, which are generally 4 hours that we go through. So if you hit the snooze button and then you fall back asleep, sometimes you might like wake up when the alarm goes off again in 10 minutes and you're like, oh shit, and it feels like you've been sleeping forever. But it's just because you're 9 minutes into a sleep cycle that's supposed to be 4 hours. And it's, you trigger that sleep cycle and that sticks with you even after you get out of bed. So you're kind of in an incomplete sleep cycle and it's going to like drag you down as you go on. So yeah, keep the phone across the room. If possible, keep it out of the room. The other thing is, and you mentioned scrolling through social media. I don't have social media on my phone. I don't have any apps on my phone, social media apps. But I remember in prison too, it's like I would wake up and there's hundreds of men around me. And it's not how I want to wake up. I don't want to wake up with hundreds of people around me. If I had the option to invite all those men into my morning routine now in my house, I would say no. So social media, I think about like, you know, how many friends people have on social media. And if that's the first thing you're going to in the morning, essentially you're inviting like all those people into your morning routine. It's like, just take some time for yourself. And I would say do your best to don't look at the phone until after your morning routine.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. For a while, I was doing my best to not get on my phone in the morning until I absolutely had to.
And it's difficult. I know it's difficult for a lot of people. I mean, it's even difficult for me, and I don't have social media on there, but just I get a bunch of texts. I'm sure you know, if you text me after 9 o'clock, you're probably not getting a response. Usually by 8:30, I'm in bed, and I'm not responding most of the time. So I'll have a bunch of text messages in the morning. I get my morning routine done before I go to that, because I know I'll get distracted and I'll start thinking about a bunch of different things.
I definitely notice a difference between times when my phone is next to my bed and when it's not. This is actually reminding me I should move my phone charger to the other plug in my room.
So in closing, I want to mention something called behavioral activation therapy, which I found very useful. It was something that I looked into when I was dealing with my case and then when I got training for cognitive behavioral therapy. But it's basically the concept that if you want to change who you are in the future, that if you act like that version of yourself now, that's how you get there. This kind of goes back to the promise I was saying I made to myself, and I think everyone should make a promise to themselves to show up for themselves. When I woke up in the morning today, I did not want to do anything like I said. I just had that depressed feeling in my chest. It felt like everything I'd been working so hard for was being taken away from me, and I just wanted to curl up and stay in bed. But I made that promise to myself that I deserve a life more than cowering away in my bed. I deserve to have the future that I've been planning for years now. And as much as I didn't want to, I guess essentially we're just forcing ourselves out of bed and doing these routines, because the future version that I want to be would be doing that. So in the moment, I don't feel like doing it. But I know if I could just make myself do it, it becomes easier to get to the person that is doing that. And I have been, like, since I got out of prison, I haven't really had a morning like this morning. Every morning I got up and my morning routine was not a big deal, because at a time I never wanted to do those things, never wanted to have that morning routine. But, you know, I became that person by just taking those steps every day till it just becomes who I am. And, you know, the great value, like I said, is when life gets difficult, when those moments get rough, you can fall back on that. And that's really when the idea of the promise comes in, because I didn't want to fall back on it, but I want to keep my promise to myself. And that's why I got up and did my morning routine. And I'm here with you doing the podcast, and I'm glad. It's like usual, when I have these conversations with you, I end up feeling better. So thank you, Will.
I guess the last thing I'll say, or the last couple things I'll say, is that if someone's looking to do morning routines or try out morning routines, I just encourage people to try what works for them. You know, try out different things, see what you like, see what you enjoy, or maybe you don't enjoy it, but you notice it's helpful. I know for things like meditation, what I get out of it often isn't happening during the actual meditation, but I notice it during the rest of my day. So I guess that's something else to keep in mind. Even if you don't enjoy working out, or you don't enjoy waking up early, or you don't enjoy meditating, or if you don't enjoy drinking water, you know, just knowing that the act of doing those things can make a difference for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And look, as silly as it sounds, I can honestly say a morning routine is what got me through my incarceration. It was the foundation of everything. It's, you know, the parts of my story that people find inspiring. It might not be the answer they want, but it's the foundation of that is my morning routine. You know, it's what propelled me forward. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll be here again. We have some stuff to talk about in the near future. You had mentioned a little bit on your career trajectory and stuff, but yeah, we have some things to discuss moving forward with the podcast. But hopefully folks will tune in 2 weeks for the next episode.
Thanks, Pepe. I always feel better after these conversations with you too.
Thank you, Will. Thanks for checking out this episode of Back in the Grind. Please leave a rating or review on whatever platform you listen to this podcast on. It really helps the podcast expand and allow us to get more of the guests that you want to hear from. I hope you found some value in this episode and can add some of the stuff we talked about to your morning routine. Life gets fucking crazy. I sure been through a hell of a time, and I know there's plenty of people that have been through even more than me. But my morning routine really was the foundation of how I moved through all this stuff. How I started off my morning was usually how my day ended up. And for me, when I was fighting my case, facing years in prison, and then my apartment burned down, I certainly felt like giving up. But it was my morning routine that got me up every day and put one foot in front of the other that brought me closer to the person I wanted to be. It might sound silly, but if I didn't have a morning routine back then and carry on with it until this present day, I wouldn't be here doing this podcast. I'd be in a much different place. I wouldn't have supported myself. So I hope tomorrow, when you wake up, you can find your morning a little better, and that makes your day a little better. And that day makes your week a little better, and that week makes the month a little better. And over time, it'll make your life a little better. There's certainly a lot of cool things and needed things and important things that we could be doing out there. giving ourselves a little boost in the morning to bring us one step closer to them is certainly worth it. So wake up, do your morning routine, and stay free until next time.